This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Good morning, it's me, Rich Bradbury, and welcome to Open for Business. This is the show that dives deep into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. Now, there are some misconceptions, common misconceptions, when it comes to pole dancing. It's generally known for its freedom of expressing feelings through the art of dance that has evolved over time from its origins in strip clubs and bars to a widely recognized form of fitness and art. Pole dancing has many different styles, from exotic to sports, and there are a plethora of choreography and dance movements that, you know, can be created and enjoyed, whether it's to release stress or to improve one's fitness and flexibility. Now, on today's show, I'm joined in the studio by Maple Lu Asaro, founder of Bobby's Studio Bangsa, a pole dancing studio in Bangsa.
That's correct.
And she's going to help me to, and we're going to be discussing some of the challenges in setting up a pole dancing business, how she navigated through that to set up her own studio. And over the course of the conversation, we'll also be breaking down some of the stigmas behind pole dancing in Malaysia, how her passion ended up becoming an active business venture, and the foreseeable future of 2024, how it can change a woman's psyche, fitness, and all of these kind of things that we'll be touching on. And if you have any questions, you can get us via our U-Mobile WhatsApp number, 018-789-8899. And get us on X. We are at BFM Radio. Maple, thank you so much for joining me here in studio today.
Thank you, Richard. It's been a dream come true.
I'm so glad that we're able to talk about this topic. I saw you featured in a magazine, a couple of magazines actually, talking about Bobby's. I think Tattler was something that picked you up in around 2020 and had an interview with you back then. Mm-hmm. And so I know, I mean, I've been by Bobby's studio and I know what it features and it's an experience.
I am so glad you have had that experience.
Exactly. So I feel as though I can talk from experience rather than me just kind of picking ideas out of thin air. Before we get into some of the topics about empowering women and all of that kind of stuff, let's talk just a little bit about the business, because I have to touch on that first. Why did you decide to do this, and why did you decide to do it here in Malaysia of all places?
Well, it's very interesting how I started, because I've been dancing professionally now for 30 years. And when my business, which is Samadhi Retreats, when it started to get really busy and my role in the company became more important, my dance career took the back seat.
Right.
So I wanted to find something that was, you know, more conducive to me doing it on my own, and I can train on my own, and because I had no more time to go rehearsals with, you know, my other groups of dancers. So then I came upon pole dancing, and it was at that time not even a thing yet. So then I thought, oh, maybe this is the perfect combination for me, because it's fitness, it's dance, and I can do it on my own.
Right.
So then I started training on my own. And then it became a career as it is today because I discovered Bobby's Pole Studio in Sydney. And when I took my first class with Bobby herself, I was so impressed with her as an instructor, because she helped me nail a trick that I was battling for months, you know, to figure out. And I wanted to be like her instantly. And then, you know, she was open to the idea of opening in Asia.
Right.
And so we explored on the idea, but at the time I was still not sure, because I knew that it's going to take up my entirety, you know, like my time, my commitment. And
you're already busy with stuff with Samadhi.
And I was already so busy with my business, my core business, you know, which is the restaurants and the hotels. And it took me a while to decide, but I did not think about, you know, whether it was going to be feasible in the business sense, whether it was going to be approved by the country or even by, you know, the people, or whether we are going to get students at the end of the day. I didn't really care so much about that, but I really wanted her to be a part of my life because what she had created, this formula, by bringing, you know, a syllabus, something from the clubs into the classroom, that blew me, right? That blew me away. And I wanted to dance like her, because her style is just so unique. Because pole dancing, you know, like you would look at pole dancing like sport.
Yeah.
like pole fit.
Yeah.
But she did pole dancing in a cabaret style.
Yeah.
And I am very much a showgirl myself. You know, I've been dancing for 30 years. And so that really was my biggest attraction and motivation.
Mm.
And that's how I decided to want to open a pole studio and to facilitate women who want to enjoy this superpower.
Was it difficult for you to open the business then, initially, when you're discussing this with your partner, for one thing?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, like you say, there's, let's call it red tape for opening up business, and particularly a business like this, which some people may see as being not unsavory, but the perception may be considered unsavory. Even though we know it's not, the perception is there, right?
Yeah.
Was that a difficult thing to get around?
Well, that's a very good point that you touched on, this whole perception of pole dancing. Well, it was very easy to register the company because I registered it under Dan Studio.
Right.
And also Dan Studio is basically just a classroom.
Yeah.
And then the whole aspect of starting up a business is just like any other businesses.
Mm.
So in that way, there is no challenge. As long as you have the capital to start and you have the will to go through, you know, the daily affairs of running a dance school.
Mm.
So in that sense, I really had no trouble. And because at that time, when I decided to open the studio, I was also involved with a TV show called 8 TV Showdown.
Mm.
So I really leveraged on the fact that, you know, I would have this opportunity to talk about my dance school, my new concept of, you know, of dance. And at the same time, you know, with all the media support that I got and the curiosity from both media and, you know, the normal folks of what I do. And really because it was something so new.
Right.
And I got amazing opportunities to promote and to perform and to talk about it on TV quite a lot and socials as well at that time.
Okay. Let's take a short break here. Hold that thought. Folks, I'm here in the studio with Maple Lou Azaro. She is the founder of Bobby's Pole Studio in Bangsar. If you've got any questions, get us via our U-Mobile WhatsApp number, 018-789-8899. Get us on X. We are at BFM Radio. We're right back after these messages here on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Rich Bradbury. It is the show that dives deep into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. Today, I'm speaking with Maple Lou Azaro. She is the founder of Bobby's Pole Studio in Bangsar. Just before the break, we're talking about your entrance into the space and the curiosity from the public at large about the thing that you do. So obviously, when curiosity is out there, that's when you have kind of potential customers, potential students start sniffing around. What was the initial take-up like? And do you remember your first student?
Oh, gosh. Yes, I do. And it was really tough. I mean, we talk about not hard starting up the business, but the tough part comes when you have to start gather your sign-ups.
Right.
People who may become your students. So the marketing really helped. And then, you know, there was interest. And then, you know, the students came in like not in groups, as an individual, they would walk in.
Uh-huh.
So I ended up teaching at times 6 hours a day.
Because they're all at different levels.
Yes, and there was no level at the time,
right,
actually. But then because they want to come in, like one person comes in, oh, hi, do you have a class? And I would say, yes. And then I would have to teach right there.
Because you have to, right?
I would have to, right? So I would have to start gathering a group so that I can have a group class at the end of maybe the month.
Mm.
So that was the hardest part. And I was teaching like this for about 2 years on my very own.
Yeah.
And, you know, like really basically catering to each individual who walked in. And then slowly I put them all in one group. Okay, now we can have a normal group class, you know, to begin with. And then from there, this group kind of graduate to the next level. And then I've got new people walking in again. And maybe they bring their friends, you know, or they come on their own.
Mm.
And so like this, I had to build to eventually have 10 levels going on.
Right. Where are you at now then? I mean, you talk about you have a syllabus. And so you have 10 different levels and you have a syllabus.
Yeah.
How many classes per week are you doing now then?
Well, the studio, as in general, we are teaching every day of the week.
Right.
And some classes are side classes. We call it side dishes. And then we have the main courses. Mm-hmm. And so basically, these main courses would cover the amazing syllabus that Bobby has formulated. And it goes 2 months at a time.
Yeah.
So after 2 months, you graduate to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And then because the side classes come in as like a supplementary, to help you maybe gain more flexibility, or if you want to do a little bit of extra, or you want to do different kinds of, you know, classes as to what we do, you know, mainly on the pole.
Mm. So let me talk to you then about, this is clearly a passion of yours, right? Mm. Dance is a passion of yours. Mm-hmm. You can see that. It's written all over you. Now, when that passion becomes a career or becomes part of what you do every single day, and there's money coming in from it, and, you know, does it ever become I wouldn't call it a chore, but does it ever become, I have to go to the studio today, I have students coming in today, it's my responsibility to go and teach them. Has that ever become a difficult thing for you?
You see, you know, when you become an instructor, especially when you are battling the startup of a business, it is more mental than physical. You know, physically, I felt really strong, and I have been feeling very strong all these years.
Mm.
But it's the mental strength that you really got to have, because every class is a fresh start.
Yeah.
So you have to really tune your mind and to know for a fact that every group of students, that if you do a class which is back to back, they are a new group of students.
Mm.
So you have to be just as fresh as them. So in that case, so mental strength comes in first. And then the physicality, we are all human. And what we do is really hard.
Very physical.
Very, very physical. And
I think the last time I saw you, you'd got some kind of bandage on, or you'd got a support on your arm, or you'd done something to your...
That has become part of my life, you know? I mean, it comes with the perils of, you know, of doing this art form. Because it is everything, right? It is gymnastics, it's acrobatics. Yeah. And many times when instructors, we have to do much more than the students, because we have to train, and then I have to choreograph. So I will have to make sure that I'm ready, you know, for my students. So in that case, I make sure that I have a lot of, you know, downtime on my own as and when I could, like power naps and supplements.
Yeah.
And I need to just make sure that I am, you know, physically fit, you know, at all times. But the main thing is I love what I do.
Right.
So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't interfere with what I want to give, you know, as a teacher and as a mentor. So that keeps me going, actually.
I am a big believer in power naps, not just because it helps you rest, but I think it resets your brain, you know. And I say this to people, if you've ever used an old PC, there used to be this program on it called the defragmenter. So you've got data on a hard drive and it's stored in all these different places and fragmented, you know. And when you sleep, when it pulls them all together and it smooths them out, you can go back into something. You can feel a little bit more refreshed. You can think faster. And often I try to explain this to people to my detriment, because they're like, no, you're just being lazy. And I'm like, no, it resets my brain, seriously.
Yeah.
And I think it's an important thing to do for a lot of, particularly for people who are entrepreneurial driven.
Yeah.
And I speak to people who do this quite regularly, this whole power nap thing, whether it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, whatever it is. But I want to talk to you about market fit, you know, and this is something that most entrepreneurs, when I've spoken to them in the past, have been trying to fix a problem, or they found a gap in the market, you know, for whatever it is. There's a problem here. I'm going to plug that hole with my product or my service. What you're doing is providing safe spaces.
Yeah.
Is that what you were looking at when you thought, I want to open this studio? Or was it more of a case of like, I want to be able to dance in my own private space and maybe teach other people?
So it's a little bit of a mix of all of that. My main reason for wanting to have a school is because I want to facilitate women who are willing and who have the courage to discover their own hidden greatness. Mm. Because I see this art form as something really great. Mm. It really brings out that essence, you know, in a woman. And it also brings out the power in a woman. Because many of them would come into the classroom or come to the studio and immediately say, oh, there's no way I can do this. Oh, there's no way I can do that. But once they do it, once they experience the class themselves and, you know, things are taught to them in a proper way, they feel, wow, I can actually do this. And that's empowering for them because they now know they have something they didn't know they had. And then it becomes addictive, you know, and then they want to learn more. And that's how they develop. And that's how they blossom actually into beautiful people. And because they become happy, they are happy with themselves. They are proud of their own achievements. Because every time you nail a trick, because you have to really bust your chops to understand something. Some people are quicker than others. It depends. But once you learn how to do something and you realize you can do it, you know, you get this upsurge of, you know, like ecstasy.
Yeah.
You know, which is a fantastic feeling. I mean, human emotions are powerful. And that really touches them, you know, in a very deep level.
And especially when it's in a safe space surrounded by a community as well. Because it's not just a gym. It's not just a pole studio.
That's right.
It's a community, right?
Yes. And, you know, I mean, a lot of women also don't understand going to the gym.
Yeah.
Because it's such a masculine thing, right? And so they prefer to come, you know, and do something which is dance-oriented. At the same time, it's also gym. It's weight training as well. You're lifting your own body weight. And, you know, you have a whole community of women who are not judging you because they are all doing the same thing. They're all learning the same things and they understand how hard it is.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of empathy, you know, in the women that are around, you know, the studio and also people who are now doing pole dancing. They understand it's how hard it is to master this, you know. So it's a fantastic thing to see how women can get together and forget about the drama.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the everyday drama that is maybe drowning you. So I always tell them, if you are drowning, come and climb up the pole.
Yeah. Hold that thought. Folks, I'm in the studio with Maple Lou Azaro. She is the founder of Bobby's Pole Studio in Bangsa. We'll be right back after these messages here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, of course. This is Open for Business. It's the show that dives deep into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm speaking with Maple Lou Azaro. She is the founder of Bobby's Pole Studios. It's a pole dancing studio in Bangsa. We've spoken quite a bit about starting off and people coming to join and the students who come. And we've briefly mentioned on how it's empowering for women, of course, now. So recently, of course, it was International Women's Day. And let's talk a little bit about the idea of a safe space, you know, and the idea of women within that safe space. And how important is it to you that you can provide this safe space for women majority? You know, there are men who do join your studio, I have seen, I believe. How important is that for you and why?
Well, you know, the studio is a private classroom.
Yeah.
So, and I encourage everyone who come in to be nothing but themselves. They can be whoever they want to be. And, you know, the fun part is, you know, we play dress up, you know. So there are different themes that we, you know, we put out there every term. And, you know, that is really to encourage them to just let loose, you know, don't be so serious about life, you know, I mean, loosen your grip Of course, you don't loosen the grip when you're on the pole, but loosen the grip, you know, in life. And just enjoy the process. And, you know, so in that way, you know, they are encouraged to be in, you know, comfortable in their own skin. Mm. And the space as well that, you know, it's a private classroom. You don't have to worry about, you know, other people coming in and judging you. I think that's the meaning of safe space.
Yeah.
That is very important because it will affect, you know, how a person learns.
Yeah.
And we are a very supportive bunch of teachers. We are always friendly. And at first, it will be difficult to, you know, get the girls to loosen up. So the syllabus itself and even the way we warm up, it will force you to just let it all out.
Mm.
You will have to let go.
Mm.
And slowly, you know, when they are more familiar with the surroundings and the other girls in the studio, especially beginners, then they will, and then they see how shows are done within the studio, and they will start to feel, you know, a part of it and be at ease.
Mm.
That's the main thing.
Tell me how the kind of art form has developed then. So we're going from business to psyche to one thing. But this kind of intrigues me because we mentioned it in the startup, in the setup. You know, there's sport pole dancing, there's all kinds of different pole dancing.
Mm-hmm.
How has it developed over the last, I don't know, couple of decades, do you think?
Well, in the very beginning, pole dancing... Well, actually, I want to talk about the history of pole dancing.
Yeah, let's do that.
It's really a fun fact, actually, because pole sport came from an ancient Indian sport called Malkam.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, you know, they do all the acrobatic... It's quite spectacular, actually. They do all kinds of acrobatic things on this pole that is as thick as a coconut trunk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, these boys, you know, it can be sensational because they can do group performances where a few boys would form formations and do shapes and they do all kinds of crazy leaps onto the pole and upside down. And I mean, it's amazing. So it comes from the idea of, you know, doing a sport on a pole. And then it evolved to, I guess, the strip clubs.
Yeah.
You know, and then from the strip clubs, it became, you know, it became a classroom syllabus because maybe more and more, you know, women want to learn how to do it. And so then it became popular. And then from there, you know, from being very simple, you know, it became a dancey kind of routine based syllabus.
Yeah.
And there are, of course, you know, countries that do pole dancing as a form of sport.
Mm.
So those are very different styles again. So there's for that style, it's with no routines. So it's just busting tricks, one trick after the next.
And it's almost competitive.
Yes, it is very competitive, actually, in both of these forms.
Yeah.
Whether it is an exotic form or a pole sport form, these are very, you know, it's a competitive art.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes the exotic, which is what we do, and which is very, very close to the root, which is from the strip clubs.
Mm.
And then there is now the Russian exotic. So that is really the trend at the moment. And it, you don't have to actually do any inversions on the pole. You can, you know, dance around the pole and, you know, do different transitions and perform different acrobatics on the floor. And it's lyrical. It's also contemporary. So it's very interesting how pole dancing has evolved.
Mm.
And because of this style, there's a lot of interest because you don't have to invert. You don't have to do anything upside down, you know, which requires a different kind of training.
Mm.
So it has, you know, taken now, you know, many different dance forms. But what I like to do is I like to infuse the different dance styles in the commercial scene, like hip hop, like salsa, like, you know, funk, swag, you know. So that is what interests me.
Mm.
So I like to evolve pole dancing in that sense. Staying true to what we do, but there is a versatility in the dance genres.
Mm. Do you have people that come in and walk in, see what you're doing, and then go, yeah, this is not for me? You know, and when you have those people come in, how do you encourage them to stay?
So usually they would take a trial class. So they would take a trial class to see if they like it or hate it.
Mm.
And usually it's very easy to see whether they would continue or not.
Mm.
And if they don't come back, and, you know, like when we question and kind of find out why it is, if it's something wrong, if it's something that they wanted or not. And some would say, no, it's not for them.
Mm-hmm.
Others would say they are not free and they cannot commit. But very, very few actually say it's not for them. Very few.
It does feel like, you know, it's the kind of... is not pastime? Is
yeah,
that
yeah,
pastime?
Yeah. It's a hobby.
A hobby that you need a decent amount of commitment. You can't just go like for half an hour a week and be done with it, you know, because the tricks and the moves that I've seen, very complicated, often very dangerous, you know,
yes.
If you are not trained properly, can lead to injuries even when you are doing it right.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yes.
So it has to be something that you're willing to...
Yeah, so, you know, you have to commit.
Yeah.
Like with everything in life, if you want to excel, you have to, you know, invest.
Mm.
You have to invest in yourself.
Mm.
And people who finally, you know, realize that this is it for them, you know, they would change their life. They would change their lifestyle to make sure that they pull better.
Yeah.
Change the way they eat, you know, get a few pounds down and, you know, maybe do other supplementary workouts to make sure that they stay strong, they build more muscles so that they can just, you know, look better on the pole.
Mm.
Because it's not just, you know, doing tricks on the pole, especially when there is the dance element, you know, as a part of it. You need finesse, and you also need, you know, to make sure that you have, you know, you learn how to dance, you know, with great lines, and it's like, you know, doing ballet is the same. The pole is actually everything. It's yoga, you know, yoga not in the Western sense, but you know, a union of all your senses.
Mm.
So you have to pay so much attention, because if you don't, you might get hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's gymnastics, it's acrobatics, it's weight training. It's meditation too.
It's micro control of your body is what
and
I've
because
seen.
You need so much awareness, you will start to learn, you know, awareness.
Yeah.
Because you will need to be aware and do everything consciously.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Know? Let's take another short break. I've got one more set of questions coming up for Maple in a few moments. I am speaking with Maple Lu Azaro. She is the founder of Bobby's Pole Studio here in Bangsar. We'll be right back after these messages on BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Blockbusters for me. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. My name is Rich Bradbury. Welcome to the fourth and final part of Open for Business here on BFM. It is, of course, the show that dives deep into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. I am speaking with Maple Lu Azaro, founder of Bobby's Pole Studio here in Bangsar. We're discussing the challenges in setting up a studio and some of the other things that she had to navigate whilst going through that process. I guess, Maple, before we wrap up, there's a few businessy questions that I'd like to talk about. Obviously, it is a business, you know, and generally businesses do well when they're profitable, you know. What is it like, you know, are you profitable, if you don't mind me asking?
Yes, we are very profitable.
Okay.
Not as profitable as before,
right.
Like say maybe 8 to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because we were the very first people who set up, you know, something so unique. And then as we go along the way, you know, I've also trained so many, you know, students. I've had thousands of students as of today. And people move on, you know, and they open their own, you know, pole dance studios.
Yeah.
So there are a few pole dance studios around now in KL. So in terms of, you know, profitability, some of my students also take classes from the other studios. And in general, the sentiment somewhat feels like Malaysians don't really fancy sticking to one type of thing.
Yes.
Do you know?
I do. Yeah.
So even though it's not a fad, but, you know, people drop off.
Yeah.
People drop out and they do something else.
Mm.
So, You know, I mean, even at the advent of other studios starting up, I don't see myself as a competitor because we are so different. And I try to always maintain edge. And to stay edgy, I always use my creativity to the utmost, you know, power as I could. So in the most, you know, creative and fashionable way, we would do things and create themes that would excite our students and, you know, hopefully retain them. But, you know, the thing is that with the commitment of people, I noticed in investing themselves in something and to be consistent, that is the main issue.
I think part of that, I mean, if we're to speak, you know, candidly right now, the rising cost of living is an issue for some people, I think. You know, and I'm seeing that amongst my friends who have hobbies and one thing or another, they're the first things that seem to go, right? And it's sad because that's the space where we go, where we need to lose our head for a little bit, where we need to forget about what we're doing that makes the money, so to speak.
Yes.
It's a personal investment, you know.
It is. It is very much so. And for me, I mean, if I were to look at the money sense, I would have closed the studio many, many years ago.
Right.
You know. So, I mean, it is business because we pay rent, after all.
Yeah.
We have salaries to pay.
Yeah.
For me, the most important thing is that, you know, we are, you know, we cover. We cover whatever we do, and my teachers, you know, get paid, and you know, their well-being and their welfare is taken care of. And also, you know, this is also a form of escape for a lot of my teachers as well as my students. So I stay open, actually, you know, to facilitate that. That is more important for me. That is, if is there is a space where, you know, is that they can call home and they can come and be themselves and, you know, not to think about profiting all the time. I do many, many things without profit, you know, but for the sake of love and loving what I do and doing what I love.
So this is, for you, arguably more people over profit.
Definitely.
Right.
Most definitely.
Right. What are you most proud of about this place?
I am most proud when I see my students really busting their chops and, you know, like to have the courage, the will and the spunk and, you know, to continue on and appreciating actually what we put, you know, into the school to, you know, make everyone, you know, realize their potential, put it that way. That is the most gratifying and most satisfying thing for me, you know, as a mentor. And to see that they, you know, like a student of mine, so she had anxiety and depression for many years. And then she discovered us and she started classes and she loved the community so well. And then she told me just yesterday, Paul just made everything better inside and outside.
Yeah.
So for many people, it's transformative. It's life-changing, you know. And there was a student as well who had been married for 10 years and couldn't get a child. And the minute she, you know, joined her classes for a few months and, you know, she's a mother.
Right.
You know, so it's benefiting people in all kinds of ways. You know, I just want to be the one to have a space that breed happy people.
That's a nice way of putting things. Yeah, I like that sentiment. Yeah.
Thank you.
A space to breed happy people. You should have that as your tagline. Maple, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Richard.
It's been an absolute pleasure. You. Folks, I have been speaking with Maple Lou Azaro. She is the founder of Bobby's Pole Studio in Bangsar. I'm sure you can find, you can follow them actually on Instagram. It is Bobby's
Pole Studio Malaysia.
There you go. Look it up on Instagram if you want any more information. Of course, we will post details underneath the podcast. And if you did miss this show, the podcast will be up via our website and available on the Apple App Store and Google Play via the app. Do stay tuned, though. Coming up very shortly, it is Resource Center here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
open for business? Register your company with BossBelay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.